Amen. This morning, as you can tell, we're going to continue with our, we're getting near the end of our walk with the patriarchs, but as you can tell, we're going to continue along the lines of what we began with last week. And I'd already told you I was going to go ahead that this week was going to be, we'd be coming to the last part about love. But as I prayed and prepared this week, I felt like the Lord wanted us to take a little bit longer to talk about the King of Kings, about El Elyon. So I had prepared, I had finished preaching. You can just come right here. And I knocked over my own water cup in the beginning of the service. And so that's why we have to do a little bit more. But as I was praying and preparing, I'd finished up early yesterday, and I was climbing the mountain, praying and walking as I like to do on Thursday, on the afternoons when I finished. That's okay. He's getting it worked out. It's all right. And as I was walking back down the mountain, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I said, okay, Lord, I think you wanted me to change the title. And so I changed the title in the midst of it, as you'll see in just a minute. But we're coming to the conclusion of our series together, and I'm encouraged because I know that the Lord is speaking to us, and I know that he has messages for us. And Lord willing, this next week will probably be the end of this series, Walking with the Patriarchs. And next week, it's going to be A Bride for Isaac. And even though it sounds like something about Isaac, it's still going to be about Abraham, as we're going to see. And you'll be so encouraged as we look at what Abraham does in the life of his son and what it says about his own life and his faith in God. So we'll come to that next week. But this morning, we're going to continue. And I felt like the Lord wanted us to stay a little bit more in this topic. And so this week we're going to be talking about Abraham and the King of Kings. I had titled it Abraham and the Two Kings, and we're going to focus on that. And I felt like, as I said, the Holy Spirit said, change the title. It's a different focus. Okay, Lord. So Abraham and the King of Kings. So you know who we're going to be talking about today. So this is what we'll be looking at. But I want to follow up as we come from last week. Last week we were in Genesis 14. And so we will again be in Genesis 14 and some other verses this morning. So if you have your Bibles or you've got your phones and you want to click, you can turn back to Genesis 14. We'll be in the same area again. What a wonderful, wonderful chapter as it talks about this battle. And so last week it was Abraham and the Ten Kings. It was dramatic. It was the first war recorded. It wasn't the first war in the universe. There was another war before this war. And the first war, I'll mention a little bit later, but this is the first recorded war. And it was a four-king alliance against a five-king alliance. Remember that? So the four kings who were more powerful came in and they ravaging and pillaging along the way, and they overcame the five kings, the five-king alliance, and in the meantime, Sodom and Gomorrah were plundered. Lot was taken as prisoner of war. He was taken captive along with all of his goods and many, many people. And you'll notice if you look at it, look at what the Bible says. Many people were captured, but what the Bible specifically notes, Lot, and then as you'll see what it says in the Bible, and the women, because you know what would happen to women in a situation like that. And God cared about that, and God cares about that. And so this four to five, these two alliances, and when Abraham hears about it, he leads the men, the trained men of his household, against the four-king army, and they're completely victorious. And the four-king army is battle-hardened. As far as we know, Abraham has never fought before. There's no record of it. But this other four-king alliance, they are a violent, battle-hardened group, and they have won many battles, but Abram goes against them. And I want us to think about that, because when we read these words, they're very simple, right? And when we look at this, it says, Abraham, then he pursued Chedorlaomer's army. Chedorlaomer is the main king of the four-king alliance, until he caught up with them at Dan. I want you to think about this. Abraham was down in Hebron. Sodom and Gomorrah were down in that area. That's in the lower part of Canaan, okay? Dan, if you look at your Bible maps, Dan is where? All the way up. Sometimes you'll read in the Old Testament, from Dan to Beersheba. Do you know what that means? From the very north to the very south. And so Abram and his men are way down near the south. They go all the way to the north, and there they caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. To us that sounds like, oh yeah, okay. But at that time, that type of warfare, that type of strategy would have been very uncommon. You didn't fight at night. In fact, when we read the Old Testament, remember we look at some things and it says they started at morning and they fought till sundown, right? And then they stopped. But Abram, with the wisdom that God gives him, attacks at night. Chedorlaomer's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. That goes over into Syria. It's still in that area as well. And so as we look at that, you say, well, there's nothing particularly instructive about that. But what I want us to see, because there's always a spiritual reality, is that their battle is not easy. Struggle is not easy. Conflict is not easy. And a lot of us are going through times of battle and struggle and conflict. And it's hard and it's long, isn't it? And it just keeps on going. And if you look at this just as an example, because we have symbols and types in the Old Testament, and then reality in the New Testament in our time, for Abraham to chase Chedorlaomer's army, by the way, they didn't know they were being chased. They thought, we have totally routed them. We have totally defeated them. So they're heading back with victory, with all of their spoils, with all the food, with all of the captives. They're going back to their home country, and Abram, with all of his might, is chasing them. From Hebron up to Dan, where he caught up with them, is 300 kilometers. You may not have thought about that before, right? It seems like, oh, they just chased after them. 300 kilometers. They battle at Dan. Apparently, they're defeated at Dan, but they keep chasing them for 80 more kilometers. From Dan to this other place, to Hobah, it's 80 more kilometers. And then they have to come back all the way. Why did they keep pursuing them? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It's possible that the army dropped the goods but kept the people, because that's the most valuable part. And perhaps Lot was still a captive. We don't know. But what we do see is that it was a decisive defeat of the enemy and a decisive victory of Abram. And so as we look at this, I just want to encourage you this morning, because some of you have been in battle for a while. You've been in conflict for a while. You've been in a struggle for a while, and you are tired. You're sick of it. You're ready for it to be over. I encourage you, dear children, to hang in there and to keep on. As we're going to see today, we're going to be so encouraged as we look further at this today. And Abram was victorious. How was he victorious? There were only 318 men in his household. The alliance of four was a powerful, large group. And as we look at that, so it's an alliance of four. Who was Abraham's alliance? Now, he had three men with him. He was living on the land of Mamre, and Mamre had two brothers. So they were part of it with Abraham. But who was Abraham's victorious alliance with? With whom? With God, right? And so a takeaway for us here, as we talked about last week, and we're going to look at again a little bit more this morning, is this. Let God, make God your alliance. Make God your alliance. Whatever you're going through, people can help, and people do help. Christian brothers and sisters, come along beside us. But make your alliance God. And if God is your alliance, you'll be victorious. You will overcome. You will overcome. And as we see, we talked about this last week, that Abraham's strength and victory, they come from his alliance with God, who is El Elyon, God Almighty. And this is where we're going to be camping for a while this morning. In the Old Testament, there's the literal warfare. But even in the Old Testament, there's always a spiritual reality. In any warfare, in any struggle, in any conflict, God is not only working to defeat the enemy, God is also working to do something in the lives of his people in relation with him. So I want you to hang on to that this morning. For you and for me, when we are in battle and conflict and struggle, if it is with a situation or it may be something even in our own lives, we look at that thing and we think, God, defeat that enemy. God, take care of that situation. And we separate ourselves from what's going on. What God is doing and what God wants to do is something in us as He is working, as we're going through that conflict. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters. God is God Almighty. God could take care of your conflict and your struggle just like that. Faster than that. Faster than that. And He doesn't. And He doesn't. God's doing something. And He's working in us. And as we look at the Old Testament, we see that there's always a work of faith that's going on in any struggle, right? Think of the battles that the children of Israel fought as they left Egypt and all of Pharaoh came after them. They were victorious. Why? Because of God. And God spoke to them. Go a little bit further. Gideon and his band of how many men? 300 men. That's right. 300 men. Think of the faith lesson that God was doing, right? God said, too many men, Gideon. Too many men. Too many men. Until He got it down to 300 men. How can 300 men defeat this huge army? Go a little bit further. One of my favorites, we've talked about this so many times, Jehoshaphat. When these vast armies come against them in 2 Kings chapter 19, chapter 20, I think, and Jehoshaphat and all of the children and the people of Judah come before God. Remember what they pray together? Oh, Lord, You see this army. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And as we go throughout the Old Testament, where we see the physical battles, we see every time that there's a faith battle, there's an endurance battle. And this is what God is working in us, brothers and sisters. This is what God is trying to work through us. This is where God's primary work is when we are His children. And this is what He's trying to do in each one of us, in each one of us. And so we see this as we look at this, that our strength and our victory come from the Lord. Do you know, you and I despair when we are in situations where there's an overwhelming obstacle. The Lord delights when we are in situations where there are overwhelming obstacles against us. Now, you don't like to hear that, and I don't either. But it is in those times when God shows, I am God Almighty. I am El Elyon. And there's no other way for God to show Himself in that way. If we can do it in our own strength, if we're greater than the enemy in our own ability, we don't need God. And God delights when we are in those times when all we can do is fall on our face and say, oh God, I don't know what to do. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I know you have. I know you have. Our Heavenly Father delights. Oh, His heart is so pleased when He hears that prayer come from His children because He says, I know what to do. I know what to do. Call on Me. And I am your strength. And I am your victory. I want to read some verses for you. I want to encourage you with some verses this morning. So here's Abraham, 300 kilometers chasing a battle, 80 further kilometers, 80 kilometers back, 300 kilometers back. He's tired, but God gives him the victory. Again, I want to give you some verses this morning. But what I'm going to tell you to do, if you want to be really encouraged, is you either Google or you get a concordance, a Bible with a concordance, and start looking at words like strength, victory, and shield. And you will see God in relation to His people. So I'm going to give you three of them. Here's one. Psalm 18, verses 32 and verses 35. God arms me with strength, and He makes my way perfect. Verse 35. You have given me Your shield of victory. A shield is protection. Your right hand supports me. Why the right hand? How about the left hand? Do we have any left-handers here this morning? Okay, we got a few left-handers. Okay, we've got a few left-handers. So I don't want to make you feel worse, but traditionally, when in the Bible, when you read about the right hand, do you know what that means? The right hand is the position, and it's the place of power, and can't think of the word right now, favor, the place of power and favor. And so the right hand. And so we read this, your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. Your help has made me great. Praise the Lord. Look at another one. And think about this in relation to Abraham and yourself. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my what? Strength and shield. Amen. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Here's worship again. He's my strength and my shield. Abraham had to have strength. We look at the battle and say, oh, God helped him in the battle. But brothers and sisters, don't we see that God helped him 300 kilometers going as fast as they could, 80 kilometers more and back, and 300 kilometers more coming back. There are times when we need strength, and you need strength for the long haul, don't you? How many of you have been going at it for a long time now? You've been struggling for a long time. You've been battling for a long time. You need strength. You need endurance. Our Lord provides that. Here's one more, Psalm 60, verse 12. With God, I like this one, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. He will trample down our enemies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are only three references. You know, one of my prayers as I've prepared messages is, Lord, help me to edit. Help me to edit. Help me to edit. And as you all know, my tendency especially has been to, oh, look at this scripture, look at this scripture. But I want to encourage you. You go to the Word of God for yourself. There are so many more scriptures. And your faith, as you look and as you read, your faith will be built up. You'll be encouraged. And you will know, oh, God, I can make it through. God, I can make it. I can make it. So we know what happens next. Abram comes back. And as he comes back, he is met by two kings. That was my original title, Abraham and the Two Kings. But the Holy Spirit said, no, we're going to talk about the King of Kings. I said, okay. So we know what happens next. We know that that the king of Sodom comes out, and the king of Sodom says to Abram, you can keep all of the loot. Give me the people back. And Abraham immediately rejects that because he knows there's a catch, right? That means that he is under the king of Sodom. That means the king of Sodom has bestowed his riches. And we remember what Abraham says. Abraham says, I have raised my hand to the God Most High. I won't take a thing from you. Now that's brave. That's brave. He says, I don't want anything from you. But he is not the only king who comes out. And the other king, so the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the king's valley. And then as we talked about last week, Melchizedek, here we go. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and some wine. And this is where we want to spend more time again this morning, even though we looked at it last week. Melchizedek comes not with, give me something and I'll give you a little bit. Melchizedek comes with something different. He comes with wine and bread and a blessing from God, because he's not only a king, but he's a priest of God Most High. Now remember, we talked about this last time. In Melchizedek, we see a picture of Jesus, right? And we talked about this, and God spoke to our hearts last week. And the bread and the wine remind us of Jesus, who on the night that he was betrayed, took bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body that's broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, take this and drink it. This is my blood that's shed for you. And in this, we see a picture of Jesus all the way back in the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters, when you and I go to the Old Testament with eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit breathes life, the Old Testament is wonderful. It's wonderful. It puts strength in our bones. And I urge you to read the whole Word of God. Read the whole Word of God. Speaking of communion and the Lord's Supper, we are working on getting supplies so that we can share communion together very soon. It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been almost a year, hasn't it? It's been a long time. But God, Lord helping us, we're going to be able to do that in a different way very, very soon. So here we see this image, it's called a type of Jesus all the way back in the Old Testament. Remember, we've talked about this. So in the Old Testament, it's shown to us in examples and in types and in symbols. So here is Jesus concealed in the Old Testament, right? Here's Jesus concealed in the Old Testament. Now look with me really carefully. Melchizedek blesses him. Who does the blessing come from? God Most High, right? Look with me. Let me give you the scriptures, okay? Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, what I said, I wanted to go ahead and say it while we were having the offering, but I want you to see it here now. There's a revelation of who God is to Abraham at this point, right? Melchizedek says to Abram, God Most High, and Abraham understands God Most High is the one who has blessed me. God Most High is the one who has strengthened me. God Most High is the one who has protected me. And God Most High is the one who has given me the victory over the enemies. God did it. And it's a revelation of God that Abraham has not had before. It's something he sees in God. And what is his response? He gives a tenth, right? He gives a tithe. This is why I said when we took up the offering that tithing is worship. It's worship. What is worship? Worship is ascribing, giving worth to God. God, you are great. God, all things come from your hand. Oh, God, you are Emmanuel. You are with me. You are God of love, of mercy, of grace. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my peace. You are my good shepherd. And our response is worship. And one of the ways we respond in worship is tithing. It's tithing. So I want to encourage you, not because, oh, more money comes in the offering. Oh, that's the lowest. That's the least of it. It is a grateful response to God when we understand him and when we see him. And Abraham gave him a tenth. Melchizedek didn't say, now, I helped you, you help me. That's transactional. Abram from a grateful heart responds to the Lord. And that's what we see. Melchizedek brings him what? He brings him bread and wine. And I want us to see this morning, because what did Abram need at that point? He had traveled 300 miles up, 80 miles further. He fought. He was coming back down, and he needed refreshing and restoration. He had been in the battle with a superior foe, and Abraham needed might as well. He needed these things, and what did Melchizedek do? Melchizedek provided what Abraham needed at the time of need. And Melchizedek is a type of Christ. What does Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, do in our lives in our time of need? He gives us what we need. He gives us of himself. In the time of need, he meets our need. Yes? In the time of need, he meets our need. You heard Steve's testimony a few weeks ago, and he referenced Psalm 23. And how does it begin? We all know this psalm so very well. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next part? I shall not want. And in relationship with the Lord, we shall not want. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, we all come to times where we feel like, oh, I need, I'm tired, my soul is weary, I need this and I need that. And I urge you in those times, don't say, well, I need this. Go to God instead. Get close to him again. Run to him and just say, oh God, I need you. That's why we go back to that beautiful prayer, so simple, from Jehoshaphat. He has all of these beautiful words, God, this. And then he comes to the crux of the matter, and he says, oh God, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And our Savior and our Shepherd, oh beloved, he longs to hear that from our hearts. And when we pray that, when we call that out to him, oh, he says, I'm here. I am your good shepherd, and you shall not be in want. And he gives us of himself. He gives us of himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exactly what Abraham needed is what Melchizedek gave him and what God, El Elyon, provided. He needed bread and wine, and El Elyon, who was the God Most High, was with him in victory and was with him in battle. Exactly what he needed at exactly the time he needed it. Let me read you another, look at this other passage from Psalm 44, verses 5 through 7. Listen to this Psalm of David. Through you, we push back our enemies. Oh, I get so proud of myself sometimes when I accomplish something. I think, look what I did. I need to reel it in, don't I? And we come again and we look and we see what has happened. It's been because of God. And he says, through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. What is the name? God Most High, right? God Most High, El Elyon. Your victory, brothers and sisters, against your foe, whatever the foe is through El Elyon, the supreme God, the God over all other gods. And the psalmist says, I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. I sometimes think that my sword brings me victory. But he says, my sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. Through your name. Think of all the names by which God has revealed himself throughout the Bible. Let me ask you something this morning. What do you need? Where do you have a lack? Where are you struggling and you feel like you're losing the battle? God is God for you in that situation. God's name. I would put it simply and say God has a name for you. But it is God himself, isn't it? It's God himself. And I really encourage you, go to the Word of God. And in these areas of need, go again. Get a concordance. Look it up. Read again. And if you need to, write those scriptures down and just take them in day after day after day until you begin to see, oh God, you meet my need in this area. You meet my need. Now remember, Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. We looked at that last week. I want you to see this. Who blesses Abram? God Most High. But the blessing comes through whom? Through whom? Sorry, let me back up. The blessing comes through whom? Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Beautiful, beautiful. You know this in Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Can you see? Put the two together. Old Testament, Melchizedek, who blesses Abraham, a type of Jesus. Then we come to the New Testament, and we see everything that you have is because of Jesus. Everything that you have is because of Jesus. Every blessing, it has come through Jesus in your life. Praise the Lord. What else do we need? Melchizedek is a priest, but he's also a king, okay? He's also a king. He is king of what city? Salem. He's king of Salem. What does Salem mean? Shalom. What does that mean? Peace. Look at this. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. It is no surprise. It is by design of God himself that it is the king of Salem who comes out and blesses Abram. The king of peace. The king of peace. Because not only do we battle, but we need peace as well, don't we? We need peace. Amen. 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 If I were to ask you, as we're thinking about this God, this Lord, who is all of these things to us, let me ask you a question in a different way as we talk about the King of Kings. Now, I'm a basketball fan. And if you were to ask me, who's the greatest basketball player of all time? If you're a sporter, as they used to say in Beijing, you would know, he's the GOAT. You know what the GOAT is, right? The greatest of all time, G-O-A-T, okay? Who would you say is the greatest basketball player of all basketball players? Thank you, Michael Jordan. Not LeBron James and not these others. Michael Jordan, of course, because he went to my alma mater. Oh, now, there would be some who would dispute that, okay? Now, some of you are football fans, right? This type of football, okay? Who's the greatest football player of all time? I would say Pele, but, you know, some of you might say Messi or others. But see, I'm not going to get into that because I don't know that. And I don't want to start a fight. Who's the greatest golfer of all golfers? Ugh. Maybe Tiger Woods. Okay. But if we're talking about character, maybe not, right? Maybe not. So why am I asking you these other types of questions? I want us to look at that as we look at El Elyon again. So of all basketball players, this is the one we can all agree on, I think. Of all basketball players, Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player, right? Of all this, he's this. That's what El Elyon means. Now, I gave you an easy example. I gave you a simple example that doesn't really fully convey how wonderful the thought of El Elyon. El Elyon means, of all gods, he's the greatest God. That's what it means. So of all basketball players, he's the greatest. Of all gods, he's the greatest God. Of all powers, he's the greatest power. Of all kings, he's the greatest king. Of all lords, he's the greatest Lord. That's what it means. That's what it means. And I want to encourage you, as we think about it that way, that helps us when we think about our own struggles, right? When we think about what we're fighting. And as we look at this, this is what God said to his people as he encouraged them. He said, he inspired Moses to say, "For the Lord your God is the what? God of gods and Lord of lords." Because you see, so many times we're in struggles and we are just overwhelmed, aren't we? We think there's no way I can overcome. It may be, sometimes it's things outwardly. Sometimes it's something in ourselves. It may be a habit that has really taken control of us. It may be some other area, and we just think, "Oh God, this has mastered me." And the Bible, and that's why we do have to be careful about these things, because the Bible says we can become slaves to and prisoners of these things. But brothers and sisters, you are in a relationship with the God who is greater than all other gods, the Lord who's higher than all other lords, the King who's more powerful than all other kings. Look with me at this verse that you know so well. This is talking about Jesus. "Therefore God exalted him," think of El Elyon again, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You know what Lord means there? Supreme in authority. Supreme in authority. So yesterday afternoon, I've told you this before, but I just want to tell it to you again. So yesterday afternoon, I was climbing the mountain, and I've told you before what I do when I get about two-thirds of the way up the mountain, where they have those three shrines with idols and incense that they're always burning. Unless I forget, and I try not to forget, it's important to me. Every time I go by, I say out loud, "Jesus is Lord," as I walk by. And when I come back down the mountain and I pass them again, you know what I say? "Jesus is Lord." And since I've been studying in this area, sometimes I add things like, "He is El Elyon. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." I just remind him. I just remind him. I want to encourage you, as we think about Jesus, this is one of the last pictures, not the last pictures, but this is one of the last battles in the book of Revelation. And I'm only giving you just a small part of it, because you have to look at the whole passage for yourself. But it is such an encouraging passage. This is as Jesus, seated on a white horse, goes out for the final battle. Amen. The final battle with Satan, all of his demons, and a world of those that are still rebelling against God and against his righteous judge. This is the last battle. This one, right here. And you know what it says? on his robe and on his thigh. Hallelujah. He has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the last battle. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me talk about the devil. In Isaiah 14:14, 12 through 14, there's a passage about the first war. The first war that came before the Battle of the Ten Kings. And it's about Satan. And he was called Lucifer at that time before he fell. And there are five times in those three verses Lucifer expresses his heart. I will ascend to the throne. I will set my throne. I will. And he ends his I will statement by saying, I will be like the Most High. Ding, 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 ding. The Most High. You know what that name is right there? El Elyon. Exactly what Abraham saw. And Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. Do you know what Jesus says in the New Testament to his disciples and to you and to me? Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you this morning. I encourage you and I exhort you. You do not have to be under the foot of the enemy. Jesus has conquered him. He is El Elyon. He is the victor. And you are in alliance with him. With him. You do not struggle in your own strength. I will never defeat. I will never overcome in my own strength, in my own smarts, in my own wisdom, in my own perseverance, in my own strength. I will never overcome. But I will in alliance with El Elyon, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who in that first battle, the first battle in heaven, the first battle, it was a short one. It didn't take a long time. And the enemy was cast out of heaven. And Jesus has all authority. What does Jesus say when he rises from the dead to his disciples and to you and me? He says, all authority is mine, and I have given you all authority. Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and do this. Brothers and sisters, we are in alliance with El Elyon, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen. Now, as we close, as we come to a close this morning, look with me at the beginning part of chapter 15, Genesis 15, 1. Look with me. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This sounds verbal, but if you read the rest of it, do you know what you will see? You will see, and he took Abram outside and said, look at the stars. This is part of the promise. That's why that's the background, because that's part of it. So it wasn't just a word that Abram heard in his ear. God comes to Abram and he says to him, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. Chapter 15, verse 1, is part of chapter 14, but it's also a bridge to everything that happens after that. But we're going to look at it looking backwards this morning. Next week, we're going to look at it looking ahead. God says to Abraham, after this happens, don't be afraid. I am your shield, and I'm your reward. Do you ever struggle with fear in the battle and in the conflict? I do sometimes. God, will I be victorious? If you'll look at the Old Testament especially, because that's where we see the physical battle, if you will go from Genesis to Malachi, you will never find, listen, you will never find one time when the children of God in right relationship and alliance with God are ever defeated. Ever. Not once. The only defeats came when they were not in right relationship with God. Every other time, victory was theirs. And God comes to Abram and he says, "Don't be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward." Why would Abram be afraid? He had just made an implacable enemy out of Chedorlaomer. This was a powerful king. Even though Chedorlaomer had been defeated, still this king and his allies were now Abram's enemies. They were now Abram's enemies. And what does God say to him? "Don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your shield. I'm your shield." What does that look like in the New Testament for you and for me? Beautiful picture, not a warlike picture, a peaceful picture, a pastoral picture, when Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the door to the sheepfold." Do you know what that means? That means Jesus is our shield. That means nothing comes to you or touches you except what has come through Jesus first. And he's your shield. And then he says, "I'm your very great reward." Huh? How does that fit? Abram has just made a sacrificial, God-honoring choice, right? When he told the king of Sodom, "I won't take a thread from you, not a thread." He rejects it all in honor of the Lord. Now, this is why he says, "I'm your very great reward." What God is saying to Abram is this: "You have honored me. I will honor you. You have made me king and Lord and acknowledged me. I will take care of you." Brothers and sisters, we make decisions every day. It's not always easy. Those of you who are in business, let's be really, really honest. Sometimes it would be easier and quicker and more advantageous to cheat. Yes? You can say yes. It's true. It would be easier to take a bribe. "Here, we'll give you this. Let's put this under the table and you will do this. Here, we can work this out." Those of you with employers at times, all of us are challenged with shortcuts to getting ahead. All of us are, in many, many different ways. If you will honor God in your life, God will honor you. It may be initially sacrificial. It may be initially hard. But if you will honor God, he will take care of you and he will honor you. That is what God is saying to Abram here. "I'm your very great reward." And you know what happens right after this? Right after this, God takes Abram out to look at the stars. Here is a man who is yet childless. And God says to Abram, "Look at that. Look at that." Because for Abram, his dream, his hope was offspring. "God, you have said this." And God says, "Look at the stars. This is what your offspring will be like. What you lose, what we lose by doing it right and by doing it God's way, God will more than pour back into our lives. 1 Samuel 2:30. It's in a larger context, but just this phrase: "Those who honor me, I will honor." Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all else, and all these things will be added to you." Psalm 37:25 and 26. This is one of our family's theme verses. I've told you this before. "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging bread. He is always generous, always lending, and his children are a blessing." Do you see the beauty of this verse as we come to a close right now? Here's the beauty of this verse. God's blessing comes to you, and it is not just for you. Do you see the abundance and the overflow here? You see, God wants to be a blessing through you to others. Did you know that? God wants to bless you, and He will. But God wants with all of His heart, because He's a good God. He's a loving God. He wants blessing to go to those around you who do not know yet He's a good God. He's a generous God. He's a loving God. And it says He's always generous, always lending, and His children are a blessing. This is the promise of God. This is our El Elyon. It's all part and parcel. It's all part of it together. So I'm going to invite you right now. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer right now. And I know the Lord has spoken to you, but He may be speaking something very specific as well. And we're just going to respond to the Lord right now as we pray. Would you join me? I'm going to pray for you, but God's the one who gives you blessing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, and I invite you either just to lift your hands in worship or just lift your hands in receiving, in either way. Lord, this morning we honor you. God, our hearts have been stirred by Abraham. And Lord, we say we love you. Lord, we say that we want to be like Abraham, our brother, the father of faith, who is our example, who, God, you proved yourself El Elyon to him, just as you are proving yourself El Elyon to us as well, the God Most High of all gods. Lord, some of us have been living in fear, but you bring us peace. Lord, some of us have been worrying about how we will overcome, but, oh, Lord, you have overcome for us. And you have brought the enemy under your feet, and we are in alliance with you. May your people, O God, as they look to you, and as they honor you, and as they make good choices and right choices in honoring you, O Lord, you will reveal yourself to them as El Elyon, as Lord, as God, as their shield, and their very, very, very great reward. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, O Lord. Speak to us, we pray, in the days ahead, in this week ahead. May we put into practice what you have spoken to us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.